Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Anchorage is facing a perceived crime wave, and the Alaska legislature is going into special session to consider rolling back a criminal justice reform law known as SB 91. On today's show, we have Mayor Ethan Berkowitz and Chief of Police Justin Dahl in the studio to talk about what APD is doing to address crime and win public confidence as the force rebuilds in numbers and faces a drug epidemic and a spike in the number of murders. And we're going to have an open conversation today and get into all aspects of these issues, what APD is doing and what you think they should be doing, what your concerns are, and how you feel about the law that was passed to reduce jail sentences and deal with crime in a new way. So I thank both of you gentlemen for being here. Mayor, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Chief, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me too.
So I wanted to just start, and I'm going to ask, let me ask each of you this question. Are we having a crime wave? Is something going on that's unusual as far as crime? And maybe I'll start with you, Chief. You're the crime expert. And then Ethan, Mayor, you're the public relations expert, the guy who's out there in the community talking about these things.
Well, you know, that is something we've been talking about for quite a while now. And, you know, we're pretty open with the data we have at the police department. And we have community crime mapping online where people can go and look almost in real time at the data that we have that people are reporting to us. But, you know, we have seen an increase in some crime categories over the last couple of years. The things that people typically look at are auto theft is one that's had a lot of interest in other property crimes. And there have been an increase in some of the violent crimes as well. So I think that, you know, we have talked about that quite a bit.
Something is happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mayor, what is your sense from talking to your constituents as to, I mean, there's a lot of concern out there in the community right now.
I think there's a lot of justifiable concern that crime is on the upswing, and there's a lot of contributing factors to that. Unfortunately, the municipality doesn't have a lot of levers to use so we can counteract it. Basically, the only thing we can do is increase the numbers of the police force, and that we've done over the last couple of years. We've gone from about 350 to about 410 officers, 50 of whom are still in various stages of training. But at the same time, there's been an upsurge because of the opioid epidemic, and the state has retreated from the things that it has historically done. The number of troopers are down 32 over the last 2 years. The number of prosecutors in Anchorage is down 7 or 8 over that same period of time. And they've retreated from a lot of the role that they've had in the past. And we've had to try and step into the breach, which is difficult given the constraints that local government has compared to the state.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's our topic today, crime in Anchorage and what's being done about it. The phone number, if you want to get on the air with us, with the mayor and the police chief, is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside the Anchorage area, you can call toll-free, 888-353-5752, and you can get on the air with us with your questions via email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. There was an announcement recently of a reorganization or a new strategy at APD, which goes along with the mayor's strategy of having more cops, which you just mentioned.
Oh, that's how, right.
Are you redeploying your forces in a way to be more effective? And what is that all about?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We are doing that. You know, it is important to add actual bodies to come into the police department and do the work. But the way that you deploy those bodies, you know, makes a huge difference on the impact that you can have. So something the police department's doing now is we've done some reorganization. We have taken the vice unit, which is part of the detective division. The department's broken up into four divisions, basically, and moved them into the crime suppression division where the community policing team is. Last winter, we talked about how the community policing team was focusing more on street-level crime, and the vice unit tends to take those cases that are along those lines, drug cases, but have a little bit longer time frame. So having them in the same division is going to ease the handoff of those cases and the handing back and forth of information. I don't want some, you know, bureaucracy at the police department to get in the way of investigation. So that takes some additional command structure out of the way and just makes it a little cleaner. We're also taking a detective that we have that's our liaison to the Alaska Information Center, which is an intel sharing center run by Alaska State Troopers. And that person was in the detective division as well. We're putting them also in the crime suppression division, reporting to that same command structure to better able share intelligence and crime data information inside the crime suppression division, but also with our state and local law enforcement partners. Those partnerships are huge when it comes to dealing with some of the problems that Anchorage is seeing. On top of all of that, we've added a 9-person unit to the crime suppression division that's made up of patrol officers. And their sole function is it's called the Investigative Support Unit. And that's literally what they're doing. They're supporting the investigations that homicide, robbery, assault, at the violent crime sections of the detective division are working on. They're also going to be supporting the investigations that Vice and Cap are working on. And then when they're not doing those things, which I think they'll be doing quite a bit of, they're an available group that can go and provide high-intensity patrol at locations around town that we've identified as a result of crime data analysis. Mm-hmm. You know, you find a hot spot on the map, someplace that we're at all the time, and now we have people that can go and just focus on that spot.
So we hear a lot about the opioid epidemic as a driver of increased crime. And assuming that you would agree that is one of the drivers, how is this new strategy going to address that?
Well, I think that is one of the drivers. You know, I think there are a lot of things that are happening, but that's definitely one of them. A drug epidemic like that's not something we can simply enforce our way out of exclusively, but definitely having an active law enforcement participation in enforcing criminal drug laws can be a really good partner in that overall objective of reducing the opioid epidemic. So it's something that has to be, community-wide, actually have residents and the rest of the community involved with, as well as a lot of social service agencies and, you know, providing treatment options or some kind of help for people that we have contact with that actually want to have some assistance to get out of that lifestyle.
Mayor Berkowitz, the assembly, I guess, voted last night on a resolution regarding SB 91. The legislature is coming into a special session. SB 91 decreased some penalties and went to a philosophy more based on treatment and restoration rather than punishment. I'm curious as to whether you think SB 91 is a cause or one of the causal factors of the increased crime and the increased concern that we're seeing.
The way that the legislature and the state implemented SB 91 certainly didn't help things. And the theory behind Senate Bill 91 was that we were going to rehabilitate people before we emptied our prisons. But they emptied the prisons and then forgot about the rehabilitation component. And so that fed some of the problems that are on the street. And you'll talk to judges, you'll talk to officers, you'll talk to lawyers, and they'll tell you that the criminal element is certainly emboldened by SB 91. There are a lot of the chatter about it has led people to say, hey, you can't touch me. SB 91 allows me to do this, or I won't get into trouble for doing that. And that's made things worse. But I think the problem with how they implemented it was they didn't do it the way they were supposed to. It's like baking a cake and not using all the ingredients and then complaining that it doesn't taste good.
So I presumably don't want to repeal it then. Would you like to see it changed?
Well, all those decisions are up to the legislature. All I know is that the consequences for implementing a policy poorly at the state level fall upon us at the municipal level. I would say that one of the things that they ought to build into any system of justice is that there needs to be discretion allowed at the street level. Officers need to be able to use discretion. Prosecutors need to be able to have discretion. Judges need to have discretion. And the idea of mandatory minimums or mandatory maximums gets away from the notion of how we implement real systems of justice. I would also say that when we talk about what any criminal justice reform does, as the chief said, we need to view it more comprehensively. There's prevention elements, there's policing elements, there's prosecution elements, there's punishment elements. We can't just focus on one of those elements.
Chief, has SB 91 made your job more difficult, made your officers' jobs more difficult?
Well, I think the anecdotal information is that they feel that way, but I think that, like what the mayor said, is there's a whole combination of things that's going on at the same time, and SB 91 is part of that mix. So there is frustration felt at the street level as a result, but I think it's combined and sort of amplified by all the other things that are happening. The change in the amount of people that are involved in using opioids, stuff like that. So, I think at the end of the day, SB 91 is not turning out the way anyone intended it to. Anybody that was involved in crafting or discussing it, I think there were probably a number of competing ideologies there, but this is probably not what anybody envisioned. So, I'm encouraged that the legislature is coming back to look at maybe some ways to fix it.
All right. It's a Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. I'm here with Mayor Ethan Berkowitz and Police Chief Justin Dahl. We're talking about crime in Anchorage. If you'd like to join us, the phone number here is 550-8433, and the email address is hometownofalaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to go to Eric, who's calling from Big Lake. Eric?
Hi.
Yeah, did you have a question?
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Go right ahead.
I'm concerned about bleed over, either from out here in the valley or... as I suspect, from criminals in Anchorage, you know, coming out here.
So you're concerned that, crime in the valley is being caused by proximity to Anchorage, and I guess that criminals are probably moving around all the time, right?
Well, I think they're pretty mobile these days.
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern.
Yeah. Chief, I suppose you probably coordinate with the troopers, and most of the valley doesn't have a local police force,
right.
But the troopers have been really drastically cut, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Eric has a good point. I mean, there is a lot of traffic between Anchorage and the valley, people who are doing their normal jobs commuting back and forth, and, you know, we definitely see criminal element moving back and forth as well. That's why that partnership with other state and local agencies is so important. That's why we're committed to the information sharing with Alaska State Troopers and actually being able to share case information back and forth. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, Mayor Berkowitz, you've been forced to sort of expand your police force to start patrolling the Seward Highway. We've now got the Whittier Police Force that's patrolling Girdwood, as I understand it, which kind of makes my head explode. It seems like a lot of the state's fiscal problems are kind of being dumped down on you. I mean, maybe that's a softball question, but is that part of our crime problem?
That is part of the crime problem, and it's not just on me. It's on all the people of the state. And again, the failure of the legislature to resolve the fiscal problem has real consequences for the people of Alaska. And in the context of this show, it has contributed to a growth in crime. And I would hope that as they go back down to address some of the criminal element, the criminal measures that they're contemplating, they think about actually funding more troopers, more prosecutors, more parole officers, so that when we do get people in the criminal net, we can do something with them. I would also hope that they would do a lot more for the detox facilities and the prevention that's necessary, so that when people who are caught in the throes of addiction, they have something to some way of getting out of it. Because if you look at the recent history of where we've been, we've cut inpatient treatment at the state level. Anchorage only has 15 beds. We're going to maybe double that shortly, thanks to Eklutna and Cook Inlet Tribal, but we should have four or five times those numbers of beds. And the state should be an active partner for that and has not been.
15 beds for the entire municipality of Anchorage, 300,000 people.
Yes, which is, you know, Fairbanks.
It's Fairbanks seems ridiculous.
Fairbanks and Juneau both have twice that number.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Don, who's calling from Anchorage. Don?
Yeah, hi there. Thank you for having me. I just have one question for both the mayor and the chief of police. Can you explain what you are doing to prevent gun violence? For instance, people who get a hold of a weapon and use that weapon to assault people, as we saw in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about that right now, and a lot of despair in the sense that, you know, we're not protected from these kinds of incidents. She asked the question of both of you. I don't know who wants to go first. Such a sad,
I'll go
difficult
first.
Topic.
Yeah, there's a couple things that, and I appreciate that question from Don. There's a couple things that go into that. First of all, you know, I think that when it comes to responding to some sort of critical incident like that, I think the Anchorage Police Department is extremely well-trained. And, you know, I have friends that work in Las Vegas, and I've talked to them about kind of how that unfolded for them. And, you know, we always, when something like that happens around the country, we always look at ourselves, look at the training that we have, look at the way officers are sort of taught to have sort of a standard response to that kind of thing. And then we discuss it internally at the police department, you know, at the command level, but also, you know, that next morning I was in the daily briefing for day shift and we talked about it and how we might do that. So I feel really confident that our police department has a good ability to respond to something like that. You know, when it comes to gun violence in general, I mean, that is something, you know, the department's concerned about. I think we've seen an increase in some gun violence over the last couple of years. And again, you know, those partnerships are invaluable. We have a really close working relationship with the ATF, and that allows us to prosecute gun cases in the federal system, which can be very effective. So, you know, we're always looking at that and evaluating how we can best do that.
Yeah. And let me turn to you, Mayor. I mean, these military-style weapons that allow somebody to just spray a crowd with automatic weapon fire, it seems, to many of us, it seems kind of crazy to have that capability out there. What are your feelings on that?
I think that we need to recognize that the amount of violence in this community isn't all from those kind of horrific events that gather headlines, but a tremendous amount of violence we see in Anchorage and across Alaska is domestic violence. And it's not necessarily those assault weapons or those military-style weapons that are inflicting that kind of damage. All of these kinds of crimes, where guns are being used, where knives are used, where other dangerous weapons are being used, these are crimes where we should have a better sense of who's getting a hold of these weapons and using them poorly. People who are law-abiding are not the problem, and drawing that line between those who are going to exercise their Second Amendment rights lawfully and those who aren't is a very difficult challenge.
So is there a legislation that you would support to do something about that?
I haven't seen any legislation yet.
All right. We have a few more callers lined up, but I wanted to make sure to ask a question about something else that's been in the news of the chief. The so-called A-Team, I guess it's a kind of a group of folks who are trying to respond to a rash of auto thefts on their own, kind of finding vehicles, mm-hmm. holding onto vehicles until the police come. And one of these guys was charged with, I believe, reckless driving mm-hmm. because he was chasing somebody. What's the APD's? I mean, these guys are sort of, I see folks in the public saying, go get them, you know? We need to stop these car thefts. What's the APD's position on that?
Well, I think the public is saying that, but I think that might change if they have some kind of horrific wreck as a result of it and they kill or injure a bunch of innocent people. So mm-hmm. The police department's position is that's not a great thing to do as far as actively pursuing, stolen vehicles and stuff like that. That's incredibly hazardous. The police department even is pretty selective about how we employ those kind of tactics. What I do like and what the police department strongly encourages is we receive a tremendous amount of information from the community. Residents of Anchorage are constantly giving us information about, crimes in progress or, when we put out a solicitation for information on a particular case. Residents are very responsive, and we really appreciate that. We solve a tremendous amount of cases through public participation like that. I always encourage everybody to sign up for our Nixel service because we're communicating directly with them that way. And by the time that we get that information out through Nixel, it's had a chance to be properly scrubbed and, sort of presented in a way to where we're getting the information we need and not a lot of random information.
And that's an online service where people can find out what's
that's
going
right.
on right
yep.
now.
That's mm-hmm. And I believe there are instructions on the police department website on how to sign up for that. However, I think we even had recently there was a homicide that we worked where we got a tip from the public and we were able to apprehend the suspect. I think that was the one that went into Campbell Lake ultimately. Cheney Lake. Yeah, that's right. So highly encourage that information reporting to APD. Absolutely love that. Strongly caution people against taking some kind of active role like that for their own safety as well as the safety mm-hmm. of people around them.
Is there a sense or an understanding of why we've had this spike in auto thefts? Is that, again, drug related, or is there somebody in town who's got a ring going, or what's the story behind that?
Well, we recover about 92% of the stolen vehicles within, I think, 7 to 9 days. And so, and typically the dollar amount of damage sustained is pretty low, like on the order of a couple $100. So I don't feel like it's the same kind of thing that maybe California and Arizona see, where when your vehicle gets taken, it's gone forever, right? And it ends up in parts all over the world. Mm-hmm. I think ours is a little different. I think there is a fair amount of it that is a result of drug transactions, the drug lifestyle. A lot of people are reporting to us that when we find their vehicles, there's drug paraphernalia left in them mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I think that's a pretty significant contributing factor.
All right. It's Hometown Alaska. My guests today are Chief of Police Justin Dahl and Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. We're talking about crime. And if you want to get on the show with us, the number here is 550-8433. That's the Inside Anchorage number, 550-8433. The toll-free number is 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. Lots of callers, so let's find out some of the questions that they have for our guests. Matt is calling from Anchorage. Matt?
Charles, thanks for having me. It's Matt Clayman from the legislature.
Okay, Representative Matt Clayman from West Anchorage. Great.
And, I really think that the big issues in terms of the crime concerns are really driven by the cuts into prosecutors, 22 prosecutors cut back statewide. The state's really hurting as a result of those cuts. The efforts the mayor has done very successfully to bring the number of police officers back up over 400, although even once you get to that number, it takes a little while for the trained officers to fully get on the street and not be under supervision. Mm-hmm. But I've always found it interesting that folks that want to say, oh, this uptick in crime is all tied into the passage of Senate Bill 91, when one of the things we did in Senate Bill 91 was actually increase the minimum penalties for first and second degree murder. And I've heard no one say, well, we increased the penalties for first and second degree murder, so that must have caused that we've seen a double in the homicide rate in the last year. And I just think I think the concerns about how we're managing justice reform is important, but the suggestion that the elements on the street are paying close attention to every detail of what the legislature does, I just don't think is supported, particularly when you see how we increased the penalties for murder. It had no impact. We strengthened probation supervision and parole supervision.
I think there's a perception of
crimes. I mean, I just I think there's this perception, but I think it's disconnected with reality.
Well, I would guess I'd throw this out to all three of you. Is SB 91 a little bit of a scapegoat for a situation that nobody really knows how to control? Because, you know, it's easy to say you changed the law, and then correlation is not causation, as they tell us in science. The fact that something changed doesn't mean that that was the cause. Chief, do you want to weigh in on that? I mean,
sure. You know, I think that there is a tremendous amount of perception surrounding SB 91 that doesn't necessarily link up to the mechanics of it, but that that goes both ways. There's a public perception where the public feels like this is the causality of a lot of the issues that Anchorage is facing, but just as strong is the perception amongst the criminal element that they're now going to get a free ride because of all of the chatter about SB 91 and how
it's... So it's a PR problem, that sense.
I think that's exactly right. I've seen copies of letters between people in jail and their significant others outside of jail talking about how they believe that SB 91 was going to get them out of jail right away and get them back to, you know, selling drugs or whatever other criminal lifestyle they were involved in. So, I mean, I think that, you know, that perception is there on both sides, and that is actually one of the issues.
Yeah. Mayor Berkowitz, I mean, the reason SB 91 was passed was there was significant research saying that what we were doing wasn't working, right? We were putting people in jail, they'd come out and commit crimes again. What would you do differently? I mean, you mentioned that you'd put the treatment in place, but I mean, would that have been a solution? I mean, would it work?
Understanding the nature of the problem is really important before you define what the solution is. And recidivism is part of the problem. Some of what many people would consider to be the institutional racism of the old system, where we had disproportionate numbers of Alaska Natives and other minorities incarcerated, would also be considered to be part of the problem. What we should focus on is what are we doing to make our streets and our homes safer? And part of that is you need to have the prevention components in place. We need to have the detox facilities. We need to do the anti-drug education and treatment. We need to make sure that we have adequate levels of law enforcement, because law enforcement is a piece of this. You know, Anchorage, we're trying to get above 400 officers. Comparable towns of our size in the lower 48 have 700 officers. So we're still going to be short of what we need. And the Anchorage Police Department is by far the largest law enforcement agency in the state, by far. And that's a piece of it. What we do with prosecution is also a critical piece. You cannot reduce the number of prosecutors and increase the number of prosecutions. Each one of those prosecutors that they got rid of carries a caseload of 500, 600, 700 cases during the course of a year. And so you do the math. If you're down 7 prosecutors, that's a lot of cases that aren't going to be pursued. And that's an awful lot of lawlessness that is allowed to foment. And then the final piece of whatever you decide to do has to be with the punishment or the rehabilitation phase, because pretty much everyone you incarcerate is going to get out at some point. And if we do nothing with them while we have their attention, then the odds of them becoming repeat offenders goes up considerably. And so to think that we can just focus on one piece of the justice system and create massive change is incorrect. It's got to be all pieces. And then overlaying all that is the responsibility and the social context that we live in. And there needs to be far greater social pushback against criminal behavior. And, you know, we have in this state, and I keep coming back to the notion of domestic violence and sexual assault. These are problems that existed long before Senate Bill 91 and continue to exist at very high rates in this state and should compel our attention in a meaningful way. We cannot solve this problem without putting the resources into it.
Mm-hmm. Representative Clayman, I mean, I assume that you are, I think we're done with him. Okay, I see his name has gone from the screen. I was just going to ask him if he was going to vote to amend it. I'm sure that probably all legislators will vote to amend it, and it'll be a fight between those who want to amend and those who want to repeal. And that was kind of the debate at the Assembly last night, as I understand it.
I've noticed in all my time watching people who are in elected office, the most passionate fights tend to be in resolutions which have no force of law whatsoever.
Right. That was their recommendation to the state.
That was the letter that they sent to the state.
Right. Let's go to Avril, who's calling from Anchorage. Avril?
Hello. My name's Avril Lerman. I worked for more than 20 years as a criminal defense attorney at the Office of Public Advocacy and the Federal Public Defender. I guess I wanted to say just a few things. First of all, the United States has more people in jail than any other country in the world, and the Alaska's rate of incarceration has gone up. I don't know the exact figure, so I don't want to estimate, but hugely since 1982 when I came to the state and started practicing law. So the idea that we're emptying out the jails is not one that I'm familiar with. Second of all, in the many years that I represented criminal defendants, my clients, for the most part, were not evildoers, but many of them, violent crime is directly linked to alcohol consumption and masculinity. You take men and liquor and put them together, especially young men, and some of those people will become very violent, even though they're not ordinarily. And domestic violence, the idea that criminalizing things will change the conduct, these people are, for the most part, not like us in the sense that they don't think, oh, dear, I could get 8 years instead of four. I'm not going to do it. The process of actually planning on consequences and avoiding things is not something that happened for my client. And I think that what we should be doing, instead of thinking, going, again, when you go to the more criminalization, more prosecutors, more policemen, more cases, you also have to include the cost of more defense attorneys, more judges, more courts, and more jails. And all of those costs are extraordinarily high.
Understood. I think you made a good point, Avril, and certainly alcohol abuse is a huge driver of crime in our state, and mm-hmm. And the chief is nodding. I mean, from your point of view, though, Chief, you're given a criminal code, and you don't really have a way of preventing alcohol abuse, right? I mean, so it's we invest a lot of money in the response to it, but I don't know if we're investing enough in the prevention or in the treatment or in those areas.
No, I think that's right. I mean, that's, and Avril does make some good points. And I think that kind of ties back into a lot of these problems. They have a law enforcement component, but it's not something we can just simply enforce our way out of. And so you do have to have that entire back end built to, some people don't want help and, no amount of attempt is going to make them want that. But some people do. And if you don't have that available, then you are going to be kind of stuck in the same cycle, I think.
Mayor, is there something we can do from the point of view of regulating alcohol in Anchorage that would make this better? I mean, we do have this pretty extensive regulation system for where liquor stores can be placed and when bars can be open. Is that part of a solution?
You know, there's a lot of laws out there. But if we don't enforce the laws, then people learn to disregard them. And if they disregard them, they disrespect them. And that is part of the problem. We need to be in a position where we have enough enforcement so that there's a credible deterrent. The laws are just an expression of intent. Until we implement them, until we execute them, until we enforce them, they're just words on a statute.
Yeah. Chief, do your guys go in and enforce some of those alcohol laws mm-hmm. in terms of over-serving and late? And do you think that that's a way of stopping crime further down the line or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we spent a significant amount of time doing that this summer, especially, there were certain parts of town where when we had bar break and the bars were done for the night, we had significant issues. And so we found that focusing, you know, educating staff that works at the bars and focusing on enforcement there, it did have a direct impact on the kind of activity we're seeing that was alcohol fueled. So, yeah, I totally think so.
Great. Well, a good conversation, and we're going to stick with it after the break in the second half of Hometown Alaska. My guests today are Mayor Ethan Berkowitz and Anchorage Chief of Police Justin Dahl. My name is Charles Wolforth. When we come back, I will be giving out the phone numbers. We have some callers who have very patiently been waiting. We'll get to those and lots of other topics to weigh in on. So please stick with us as Hometown Alaska continues.
I'm Donna Goldsmith, a proud member of Alaska Public Media. I've been listening to KSKA every day since I moved to Anchorage more than 17 years ago. Public broadcasting plays an essential role in our democracy, exploring and covering issues in a way that helps each of us make informed decisions. I love that KSKA reaches deep into the numerous and diverse communities that comprise Alaska. While many local and national events tear at the sometimes fragile and uneasy relationships among the peoples in our state, KSKA's programming helps us forge deeper connections across racial, cultural, religious, and class divides. By bridging these divides, we expand our understanding and our perspectives, discovering bonds and solutions where we once thought there could be none. Your contribution during this pledge drive makes it possible for our local and national journalists to dig deep and examine all of the diverse voices and opinions in this state. Public radio brings you great journalism every day, and it's made possible by listeners just like you who give as generously as they can. Join me. Give online at alaskapublic.org or call 550-8484. Thank you.
We're back. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Our topic today is criminal justice, the perceived crime wave, maybe real crime wave that's hitting Anchorage, and what we should do about it. One line of reasoning says we need to toughen up the laws. They were just relaxed or changed a little bit in SB 91. The Alaska legislature is having a special session on that topic soon. Anchorage Police Department has added more officers and is changing its strategy. And Police Chief Justin Dahl is in the studio with me, as well as Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. So we kind of have the A-team as far as a panel to talk about this. And we welcome your calls. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752, and the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. I guess A-team has multiple meanings now. I'm going to take some getting used to that. One of the things that, and I just wanted to touch on this briefly, we had this big scandal about the National Guard a few years ago, and there was a election results, and there was multiple reports that were done, and there appeared to be criminal activities alleged in the National Guard, and then there didn't seem to be any prosecutions. And I just wanted to ask you, Chief Dahl, is there anything coming on the National Guard? Is that over? Were those investigations closed? Can you just tell us anything about that at all?
You know, I don't really have a whole lot to add to that. I think that there is still some litigation with the city, if I'm not mistaken, as a result of that, and somebody who was at the police department at that time. So there's probably not a whole lot I can say as a result. And, you know, you'd probably have to ask Muni Legal for any kind of specific details on it.
All right. And now Caroline has been waiting very, very patiently for her chance to talk with the mayor and the chief. Caroline?
Yes, thank you so much. And Mayor Berkowitz, you are quite correct and very thorough in your evaluation of things. One of the things which I grew up hearing is you either pay now or you pay a lot more later. And that seems to be what we are doing. And warehousing humans may be of benefit to private prisons, but it hurts us as a society overall. I'm wondering if we do more, we talk so much about how the family is the most important thing, and yet we do so little to help families that are having trouble bonding with the children because parents are working all the time, and just getting the help for families, because this is a generational thing. And, you know, it may cost money now, but 15 years later, it could be saving us a lot more money.
Yeah, the investment is a good one. And Mary, you've been investing a lot in this. I mean, this has sort of been the main thrust of your administration is getting more cops on the force.
Well, it's not just more cops. There's all kinds of different approaches. You know, Alaska is one of a handful of states that does not have universally available preschool. And the studies are very clear that if you have preschool available over the long term, you are going to reduce social costs by an order of 7 to 1, 14 to 1, depending which numbers you pick and choose. But part of that comes is that kids who go through preschool tend to succeed in school a little bit more, stay out of trouble a little bit more, don't get caught in the criminal justice net, and there are some long-term savings. And Alaska hasn't made those kind of investments. But we need to stop looking at this as if there's a magic solution. If we do just one thing, the world is going to get better. This is a complex problem. And if we approach it as mature adults do all complex problems and say, there are pieces of this that we're going to work on, but we know that whatever we do has to be done in conjunction with other changes as well.
All right. Let's take a call from Linda, who's calling from Anchorage. Linda?
Hi. My name is Linda, and I'm with the Rogers Park Community Council Crime and Safety Committee. And we are pretty fed up with what we're facing on a daily basis with thieves, with panhandling, with the encampments. No longer are the bike trails part of what we get to enjoy. They're just too dangerous. And my question is, my understanding is that we have home rule as part of our governing ordinances, which means before SB 91 that because we are very unique in the state of Alaska, and possibly Fairbanks is in a similar situation, we have, you know, many more people living here than any other place in the state. And so therefore, we have a different or more, whichever you want to say, set of problems. And it used to be where we were able to set our own penalties. But then SB 91 came along, and the state decided that there should be no penalty greater than what they have listed in SB 91. So is is home rule still part of our government here at Anchorage? And if it is, why are we not abiding by laws and rules that will help our city, which is very unique?
So, I hear your point. You're saying should we pass laws that would be harsher than state law and do our own thing in terms of punishment? Mayor?
I think this is one of the challenges that we have. In Anchorage, we have a police department. We have a prosecutor's office. The prosecutor's office prosecutes misdemeanor crimes, that is, crimes that are punishable by jail time up to a year. But the police department also serves the state district attorney's office in town. And so any felonies that occur here, those are state charged, and those go through a state system. The judicial system is a state system. The corrections system is a state system. The only lever we have in that part of the criminal justice system is the number of police officers that we can put on the street. And that's why it's been such an important focus of ours to raise the number of officers. But the prosecution of felonies, the courts, and the jails, those are all state.
Let me take another part of Linda's point to you, Chief, which is the encampments that we have around town and the panhandling and antisocial behavior that we see on the sides of the roads. Mm-hmm. To what extent is policing able to deal with that problem as opposed to sort of the broader social issue of getting treatment or getting people housed and that sort of thing? Can you arrest those people?
Well, you know, it depends on what's going on exactly. But when it comes to the illegal camping, there are steps the police department can take, and we do on a regular basis. We have an entire unit in the police department that focuses on that, especially through the summer. The community policing team has a group of officers that work on that virtually every day. And in fact, I think they even developed an app where you can use your smartphone to take a picture of the encampment and automatically send it to the police department along with the GPS grid coordinates. So, I mean, that's been pretty effective. You know, what the police department does is identify and post, you know, notices at the campsites. And then Department of Parks and Recreation, I think, comes in behind and cleans it up. So, you know, the speed at which that is cleaned up, some to a certain extent, is dependent on whether or not they have staff to do that. But the police department can take those actions. When it comes to panhandling on the side of the road, depending on the nature of the activity, you know, there sometimes we can issue citations. It's not usually an arrestable offense, typically around town, but those are things that we can cite for. We can actually cite the drivers that are handing out stuff too. We encourage people, you know, don't hand out money or anything else out the window of your car. You're really not making the problem a whole lot better. If you feel compelled to give, that's great. But there are a ton of services in town that you can give to that then provide directly back to people who are living in Anchorage and need help. And that's a far more structured and better way to do that than just handing out cash or food or whatever on the side of the road.
Mayor, I know this is one of the big problems that you inherited, but it seems to also in some ways to have maybe because of the drug epidemic or for whatever reason, it seems to be particularly severe right now in terms of panhandlers and street people and all of that. If you can, without probably could take a whole hour on that topic, but give us a sense of levers that you have to try to deal with that.
So the best thing we can do for homelessness is housing. I mean, we can see that the experience we've had with Housing First, which is where we take some of the hardcore people who are on the street and get them into housing, that's been hugely beneficial. You've seen the number of nights in the sleep-off center go down by 25% because we've got a couple of these Housing First up and operational. Just as a quick order of magnitude, the social cost of a hardcore individual on the street, not just the municipal cost, but to emergency rooms, to businesses, is about $60,000 per person.
Wow.
It's about $20,000 per person when we find housing for them and we put them in housing. The challenge we have is to put together some additional housing. There's two sort of large-scale units that we are currently looking at. We need to be able to round up the funding to operate them. What's going on down at the Brother Francis complex is something that needs a great deal more attention. There's been more than 7,000 calls for service down there in the past year between the fire department and the police department.
So like 20 a day, huh?
It is like 20 a day.
It is a lot.
And we encourage the folks that are running those agencies to do more, but they're also strapped in terms of what they can achieve. And so we're looking for different ways of solving some of the same problems. We've got an economy around the state that is contracting, which means that people come here to Anchorage for services. We are the hub for all of Alaska. And just as we're the beneficiary of the state's great resource wealth, which flows through here, when there are social issues, they come through here. We've got problems because when people are released from their jail time, they are just put out in the street here because oftentimes they're not allowed to return to their home communities for whatever reasons or are unable to. And so these problems aggregate.
We kind of import the problems, yeah. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. My guests are Mayor Ethan Berkowitz, Police Chief Justin Dahl. We've got about 15 minutes left. If you have a question, the number here is 550-8433. The email address is hometownatalaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to go to Thomas, who's calling from Palmer. Thanks for waiting, Thomas.
Hi, I just wanted to note that this problem is exploding nationwide. Unlike Germany, where all the kids are working and going to university, got jobs, got a life, got a future, we've shipped all our jobs to China, and you can't make any money. And I think jobs is the biggest issue of it all.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. It's a good point that we kind of maybe get mad at our local officials, but sometimes these crime trends are national trends and they're demographic trends. And so we saw crime go down dramatically after the 90s, and crime had really reached a very low level, a historically low level, before this most recent increase over the last 3 or 4 years, right, Chief?
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right.
Do we have any idea why that happens? It seems so mysterious that the entire country, because everybody in different communities are all doing different things. Why do we see these increases and decreases in crime on a national level?
I think if I knew the answer to that question, I could probably make a lot of money traveling around the country and telling people what it is. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, if you look like early to mid 2000s, it was pretty low everywhere and it had been going down for a while. And the increases we're seeing in Alaska are being mirrored in a lot of other parts of the country. And so, you know, I don't know if anybody knows exactly what the answer to that is. I think probably, like most things, it's complicated and there are a whole lot of, you know, factors that affect it.
Yeah. Do you have a sense, Mayor, of what's going on? Is it because of the drug epidemic? Is that the sort of the main thing? Or do you even have a theory?
Well, if the literature would say that the drug epidemic is part of it, but the drug epidemic is fed by a lot of social problems that exist because of the economy across the country and the changing nature of the economy. And we are suffering from some of those consequences here in Alaska as well.
All right. Drew is calling from Anchorage. Drew?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a comment, too, on some of the root of some of these problems, you know, especially with kids. Growing up here in Anchorage, you know, I grew up here in the late 80s and all through the 90s, and, you know, we used to have a thriving music scene, and, you know, we had several all-ages clubs and things like that, things for kids to do on the weekends, and, you know, once all those places disappeared, you know, kids didn't have anything to do, so, you know, a lot of them turned to drugs, alcohol, things like that, you know? I mean, I used to spend every weekend going to gigs and places like that, playing in bands. You know, once all those places disappeared, I had nothing left to do, you know? And that's a problem here. There's nothing for people under the age of 21 to do. And so by the time they do turn 21, you know, they're, you know, all they know is drugs and alcohol and getting into trouble and things like that. There's no place for people to go to, you know, express themselves.
What do you think, Chief? Is that true? That do you see an increase in youth crime and an issue where sort of nighttime activities of youth are causing more problems?
You know, I'm not sure if I have any idea what the answer to that is. I think I remember some of the places he's talking about, and some of my experience as a brand new police officer in the mid 90s were that some of those places were maybe not the best place to be after dark and,
right,
you know, hanging out. There were problems at some of them. Some of them I'm sure were fine and probably I don't even know about those because I didn't have to go to them. But, you know, I don't know if that's a problem or not. Maybe
Mayor, do you have a sense of that need for more youth activities to give kids something to do, so that they're not getting in trouble?
I would imagine that throughout history, kids have complained that there's not been enough to do. It's a familiar complaint. But we have done a lot of things in our community differently than we used to. We used to have community schools. We used to have more activities that were available.
After school stuff.
Yeah. After school activities that kept kids in a safer environment. And we have retreated from that. But these are not Alaska-only things. There are some national trends that suggest that people do less in a community sense today than they used to do. I think there are all kinds of ways where people segregate each other from one another, which makes the building of community more difficult. And that's why we put a lot of effort into making sure that we're a welcoming community, that everybody in Anchorage recognizes that this is community, their community, and that everyone here has the ability to affect the trajectory of where we're going, to shape what Anchorage looks like. Because by being a place where everyone has a stake, everyone will help take care of the community.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'd add a little bit to that. I think, you know, when we talk to community groups, one of the things we talk about is, you know, the best method of crime prevention is really getting to know the other people that live in your neighborhood when it comes to like property crimes and stuff like that. And I think a lot of us are probably guilty of, you go home at the end of the day, you know, you immerse yourself in cable TV or your iPad or something, and you really don't connect with the people that live around you. And that makes it really difficult to get to know them, get to know what's going on in the neighborhood, and really be able to kind of self-identify when problems start to creep up. So we always encourage people, get to know your neighbors and share information, and you're going to notice when things start to get out of whack where you live.
Yeah, I guess I would, in response to Drew's comment, say that through some of my work as a journalist and doing, you know, the Outdoor Explorer show here at Alaska Public Media, my sense is that there's a lot of youth activities available out there that are mostly volunteer operated, and there's a lot of sort of millennial youth who are creating new things to do. But I don't see a lot of, if you might say, ethnic crossover in those. You know, we're a very ethnically diverse community, mm-hmm. and in each of those things, I tend to see people are kind of sticking with people of their own race, their own ethnicity. I'm not seeing a ton of, you know, minorities getting involved in Nordic skiing or getting involved in cycling or some of these other activities. And so I wonder if maybe we're really talking about a community with a lot of different sub-pieces that need to be addressed. Mayor, do you want to take that one?
I think there's a lot more we can do to make sure that Alaska is more accessible to all parts of Anchorage. There are people who are new to the state who might not know how to get to the outdoors, who the notion of being up in the mountains or hunting and fishing is something that they don't have access to. And there was a time where when people came here, they were gathered into the community and shown how to be part of the outdoors. I think we'd be well served to do that. And I think we're well served to do that because it helps continue what I think is a uniquely Alaskan way of life. And the Alaskan way of life is going to evolve as more people come here, as different kinds of people come here. But as long as we can maintain our anchor in that those values, we're going to be a strong community. And those values are the kind of values that should guide us, even as we're combating some of the problems we're combating today with crime. But we need to stay true to those values and remember who we are.
That community connection thing. Yeah. Hometown Alaska, we're talking about crime with Mayor Ethan Berkowitz and Police Chief Justin Dahl. One of the topics that I wanted to get into is about public information and transparency. There have been some changes in how APD does business, and I think we need to delve into all of them in detail, but you went away from having the open radio scanner, I think, and I've heard the explanation, which seems reasonable, that there was a safety problem there with people chasing the cops. You know, that was maybe part of it. But there have been other changes. You know, the police blotter is sort of a thing of the past we don't have. And I have sensed that when I read the newspaper or listen to broadcast reports, I often hear victim not identified, details not released, more than I used to. And I don't know if that's true, Chief Dahl, and if there's a philosophy behind your public information, if you're giving as much public information as you used to, and if you could comment on that just in general.
Sure. No, it was a safety thing with the radio scanner, but really more than that, it's an obligation for the police department to protect witness and victim information. We have an obligation under Alaska statute to do that. And I think that we were maybe not doing as good a job as we could. And so that was one of the changes. And I think when it comes to releasing victim information, that's part of it. You know, people have, I think, a strong sense of privacy, and everything that happens every day now kind of chips away at that. So where we can, we try to keep people's information private, and that's part of that. You know, I think the police department's working really hard. We have an all-new communications crew there, and in addition to, well, I shouldn't say all-new, we have two new people there and some people that have been there for a long time and have a lot of experience. And we're really focused on getting information out to the public quickly. Actually, while I was sitting here, I got a notice on my phone that went out through Nixle to everybody in Anchorage that signed up for it that we're now looking for a person of interest in today's homicide. So we are actively trying to push information out to the public as quickly as we can. I think, frankly, our reach is a lot greater now than it was through the scanner. I know that there are some people that were really into that as sort of a hobby, but I'm not sure that the average person really listened to the police radio that much. But I think somebody, you know, nowadays can completely relate to getting a notice on your phone when there's a traffic snarl up that's going to affect your commute home, or there's some critical incident happening in the community that you might be interested in if it's nearby or near somebody who you know or is part of your family. So we've also, not just our communication staff has access to that, but the supervisors that sit in the 911 center have access. So as things are emerging, they can instantly reach out to the community and, you know, provide that information. So my vision is that we are responsive to the community. We get information out as quickly as we can, but more importantly, that information's accurate. And so all those things together, I think, is kind of the focus that we have and what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
And I'd add that there's an awful lot of information that's available on the police website and also on the municipal website. We don't necessarily push it out all the time, but anyone who wants to go look, they can see crime data. There's all kinds of information that they can peruse.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. The crime information that's on there on the community crime mapping, I think it's updated 4 times a day. So it's almost real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the high profile cases probably drive this more than anything else, where, you know, details aren't released. And last year we had the serial killer, and for reasons that were explained about a gun and not wanting to identify it, there was a decision made to sort of hold stuff back while warning people, which I think created a lot of anxiety. And I guess my question for you, Mayor, is do you feel like this public information Do we decrease in anxiety by giving out more, or do we increase anxiety, or is that even part of your calculation?
That is part of the calculation, and we will evaluate mm-hmm. it on a case-by-case basis. There's times where the public should know everything we can possibly convey. There's sometimes public safety or in order to protect the integrity of an investigation, we might be more slow in releasing information. When we do release information, it is going to be as complete as we can possibly be.
I think it can be confusing sometimes because, like you said, there are some cases where it seems like everything unfolds and in a matter of hours we basically release everything we have. And there are other times where it seems like it goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and we don't talk about it at all. And like the mayor said, those are very case specific. A lot of times there's investigative strategy that has to go with release of information, especially if we're still trying to identify the suspect. So it is literally a case by case evaluation, and we're constantly balancing the public's right to know about what we're doing with the need to protect that investigation and make sure that we're enhancing public safety as much as possible mm-hmm. by taking those people into custody.
Let me throw an email question to Chief Dahl. When the questioner asks, when will APD start patrolling Anchorage's trail system where packs of drunks and predators often accost solo walkers, especially older women? And I guess this person obviously feels the patrol is inadequate that's mm-hmm. happening now. What is the patrol that you do on the trails?
No, that's a great question. You know, we had a much expanded presence in parks and trails this summer. The last few years, we've had the school resource officers that are the officers that are primarily assigned to high schools and then the kind of the feeder schools throughout the school year. For the most part, they're not obligated to be at the schools during the summer. So we usually have them doing foot patrol downtown or doing some bicycle patrol around town. Well, the staffing has increased to the point where we're actually starting to feel that in the patrol division now. So that allowed us to have sort of permanently assigned foot patrol downtown and also in Midtown and Spinard and some other places around town, even in residential areas. That really let us expand the officers that were on bicycles to all parts of the city. And so I've had people stop me and say, oh, I saw a police officer on a bike out on the Glen Highway or wherever. I mean, they were everywhere. So mm-hmm. we really expanded that presence a lot. The Citizens Academy Alumni Association, which is people that have gone through our Citizens Academy, and they're still involved with the police department volunteering and stuff and fundraising, recently purchased some bicycles to help with that effort, including two fat tire bikes. And I am being lobbied heavily by people inside the police department to let officers ride this winter on the fat tire bike. So if risk management doesn't, get rid of me, we might try that too. But we had a lot more people on bikes and trails.
Well, it seems like that's, I think, where we're going to have to stop because of time. I thank the callers who are waiting. I want to thank both of my guests. Mayor Ethan Berkowitz, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
And Chief of Police Justin Dahl, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My name is Charles Wolforth. I'll be with you again next week on Hometown Alaska when we'll be talking about the economy. We all know the economy is in the doldrums. What are the hopes for it getting better? When will this recession be over? And what are some of the things we can do to make that happen? So tune in with us again next week, Wednesday at 2 on Hometown Alaska.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.